But the thing that escapes us is we didn't realize that there was a window in the top story. And I'm going to go into this, not tonight. I want you to ponder it a little. So why must this ark have a window not in the bottom? But where? On the third story. The ark had how many stories? And you don't think that that was serving any purpose. But I tell you, from the window you get light and you get fresh air. And if the window is covered, you can't see through. And when Noah sent the raven was glad to go, but he was too busy feeding on carcasses. He didn't accomplish anything constructive for Noah. But when he sent the dove through the window. Now, because we all read in a hurry, we don't see what God is trying to show us. And I confess my own lack of understanding. Suppose I were to ask you, had Noah decided, well, this ark has one door, and I have been imprisoned here for over a year, and maybe God in mercy has caused the waters to be abated, I'm going to open the door. What would have happened had he opened the door? The waters would have flooded the ark. Instead, Noah opened a window. And the dove had a mission. And when the dove came back on the second trip with an olive leaf in its bill, Noah knew that the waters were abating. And he waited 7 days more, sent the dove, and the dove did not come back. So he knew that soon they would leave the ark. How often we want God to open this door and that door, and I'm guilty like anyone else. You don't know how many times I have felt frustrated because of a desire to share with people from my own country and Canada and New York, and it seems as if nothing works out because many are comfortable where they are. And you too here, I'm sure you have done your best to enthuse people for the Lord. You call them, you invite them, you tell them, you plead with them. But guess what? People are too busy today. But I want to tell you tonight, don't look for a door to open until the window is open. The window must open to give you hope. An encouragement that God is going to open the door when the time is ripe. That's why my brother didn't know what he was saying. I didn't consult with him when he was reading the words. In every change, he what? Faithful will remain. He's faithful. But he gives us inclinations of his intervention first through the window. And if we are faithful to see the providence of God, then we are getting ready for the door to be opened. So, I'm going to give you some windows in the Bible. That's a whole subject. I never thought about it. And when the soldiers came to look for these spies, they had to come through the door. You can't come into a house by going through the window. What would happen? You'd be a thief. You got to come through the door. But Rahab spoke a lie, and God doesn't commend her for the lie, but God commended her for her faith. It isn't a lie that she spoke. God does not sanction lies. But God was merciful to her because she had a desire to do what was right. And although she told a lie, she closed the door on the soldiers. And she got focused on the window. You see, when you open the door, you enter into the wicked city. And she knows about going through that door because she was an immoral woman. Now, some people say that word harlot means an innkeeper. But it means an immoral woman. Please help me, lest I forget. What is today's date? Huh? So what day is today? And it is the what day? Of the what month? May I tell you something that I want you to discover? Five times Rahab is called Rahab the harlot. Why? Today is the fifth day. Five is the number of grace and freedom. Hallelujah. But why should the Bible call this woman Rahab the harlot even when she was rescued? How many have puzzled over that? I'm sure we have puzzled over it. How many of us are aware that in the book of Ruth, over and over again, what do we read of Ruth? Ruth the Moabitess. But may I tell you something? After she is married to Boaz, and before she was married, she had to meet him at a certain place where Boaz was winnowing barley. What place was that called? The threshing floor. And when Boaz woke up at midnight, he felt somebody was at his feet and said, "Who is this?" Who can tell me, even if you don't open your Bibles? Who can tell me what Ruth said? Open your Bible, see if you can tell me. Brother Alan, help us. It's a little nugget of truth I want you to see here. Boaz asked the question at midnight. Ruth meets him at the threshing floor at midnight. We are approaching the midnight hour, my friend. Amen. I'm Ruth and what? She didn't say I'm Ruth and Moabitess. You know what that word handmaid means? I'm going to tell you. Female bond slave. I want you to listen to that because I might speak on the bond slaves or servants of the Bible. The same word is used by Mary after she consented to become the mother of Messiah. What did she say to Gabriel? "Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." The word handmaid, and you scholars go ahead and check it out. It means a female bond slave. There are many believers, few bond slaves. We're going to touch on that a little. Now, most of us may know it, but we need to hear it again and again. It was after she said that, that he went to play the role of the kinsman. And after the wedding, she is no more called Ruth the Moabitess. May this woman that has come into thine house, the elders blessed her. No more is the stigma of the Moabite that was under a curse for 10 generations attached to Ruth. But now Rahab is spared and delivered, and she is still called Rahab the harlot five times. And I was pondering that. Let me help you a little. Jesus went into a certain man's home, and there was a big feast spread for him, and the name of the man is given as Simon the leper. So the first question is, why should Simon the leper have a feast in his house when a leper could not dwell in the city? He was dwelling where? Outside, without a camp, if they were in the wilderness. But in the city, he would be outside of the city. Matthew meets the Lord and gives up his job working for Rome. And he's giving us a list of the disciples who become apostles. And when he comes to himself, he uses Matthew and he puts a title. Who can guess what the title was? Matthew the publican, but he was no more a publican. He was in the service of the King of Kings. But then Jesus one day said, the publicans and harlots enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. Religious people, scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees. In those days, a publican or a tax collector working for Rome was in the same category of the immoral people. So why does Matthew call himself the publican? And why is Rahab called a harlot? And the only answer I can give you is, Matthew was simply saying, if God can save me, the one who is at the bottom of the ladder of society, he can save anybody else. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Help me. My, saved a wretch like me. People don't want to use those words. But when you see the grace of God, you begin to see yourself. And why is Rahab called a harlot five times? To show you the grace of God in rescuing her from a life of immorality to make her a saint of God. Hallelujah. Well, forgive me for taking you all the way into the early chapters of Joshua, but I felt it was necessary to prepare you for this thought. Why would Joshua put the two spies as a priority in their crossing the Jordan? Because Joshua is a type of Jesus. And the main mission of Jesus is given in those beautiful words when he rebuked James and John for wanting to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans. And guess what the Lord said? The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but what? And why his name shall be called Jesus. And Joshua, being the leader and sending out these men on a mission to be a witness, is a type of Jesus who has not left us without his witnesses. And the primary mission of Jesus is to save the lost. His name shall be called Jesus. Why? From what? And you see it all there in the mission of the spies sent by whom? Joshua. Now here's an interesting thing about Joshua, and I still don't know the answer. He said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. But does it occur to you Joshua didn't marry and didn't have any children? That's a shocker. And why? Because Jesus wasn't married and he didn't come to bring forth children after the flesh. That's all I can tell you. There's no record of Joshua's family. There is more to Joshua than has ever been heard or preached or read. More than I know. But I know that that name is a powerful name. His name is as ointment poured forth. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. So isn't it absolutely astounding that the priority on Joshua's list is to send the spies, and the spies are to go to this woman's house. And this woman already has faith to believe. As she speaks with them, she says, I know, not I hope or I believe. I want you to turn there. Let's see her confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, whom? The Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right, let's see the confession this woman made. Chapter 2 of Joshua. Verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know. Notice that. Not I believe or I think. How we need to speak like the Apostle Paul. I know whom I have believed. These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, John tells us in his gospel. Beloved friends, if we don't know, we need to know for ourselves. Amen. I know that the Lord has given you the land. They hadn't even crossed the Jordan yet. You know, it amazes me how some people say things that baffle us when they haven't fully come to know the Lord. But God's ways are past finding out. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and all inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, faith cometh by hearing. Help me. Hearing by the word of God. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And the Red Sea is a type of the cross. At the Red Sea, the red blood of Jesus, without any taint of sin, was shed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the message of the cross. There is no other way but the way of the cross. Amen. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When you came out of the Egypt on the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. Listen, Jesus did not rise from the dead yet, but on the cross he defeated principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them by it. By the cross, he didn't die as a victim, he died as a victor. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is victorious in death, and he's victorious in burial, and he's victorious in resurrection and in ascension. So I'm just showing you a little as to what this woman is saying. I'm not claiming to know everything. So, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, didn't all the people here get the news? How many repented, and how many decided to surrender without opposing Israel, because the king sent to arrest these men and kill them if necessary. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, notice this, he is God where? In heaven above and in earth beneath. Oh, brother, you talk about a confession. Oh, my. Vicky was telling me about a man from India that she met at Sam's store. And he hardly speaks. I know the Indian people, they're very quiet and they don't like to talk too much. I'm different. I guess I talk too much. But anyhow, he wouldn't say too much to her, but just recently, he used the expression, the Lord, the grace. Tell me what he said to you.
He said he prayed every day for our strength, and the grace of the Lord be with him, and the Lord was good to him.
And then before you left, what he said to you?
When I asked him, was he a Christian? Was he a believer?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, well, I believe in Jesus.
Yes. And then he said, God bless you, or the grace of God be with you again. He used the word grace. I said he's not far from the kingdom. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, we're quick to condemn people to hell. We're wet blankets at times. That's why we don't win people to the Lord. And I've been learning to be a little wiser. After you get your finger burned once or twice, you don't want to get it burned three times more. So, Vicky did not meet this man by accident. And he didn't say these words just casually. God is dealing with that man. And I'm expecting that God is going to arrest him as it happened to Rahab. Hallelujah. Beloved, do we believe when we pray God will do what he purposed? You know how long I waited before my father came to know Jesus? As a young Christian, I thought it would come to the Lord overnight. And the more I prayed, the worse it seems. How many of you are in a position where the more you're praying for your loved ones, it seems the devil is having more of a heyday with them? Until one day I said, Lord, I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm going to put them in your hands. And when I did that, I had a peace. And I can't go into the story, but little by little, my father began to become more open to the gospel. Until he surrendered to the Lord. And you don't know how thrilled I was when I took him home with my mother. I think it was 1989. And he attended some of our home meetings and Bible studies. And when we got to our sister's home in the city, he shocked me when he said, now that we are here, let's join hands together and pray and thank God for bringing us safely. Then when I went to Guyana in 1990 and was holding some meetings, my father did something that, again, stunned me. And that was, he said, take me with you to the service. And we were praying for rain. It was very dusty and very hot. And I spoke that morning and brought him home. And in the afternoon, the rains came. And he said, isn't the Lord good to send us rain? And I said, yes, Dad. And he wanted me to take him back to the service in the evening. Tell me something. Are we so blind that we can't see God was dealing with a hungry heart and soul? And when I embraced him before leaving, he began to weep, and I had a feeling I would not see him again. I just had a momentary knowledge that this was our last meeting. But my mother told me before he passed away, he heard me singing the gospel. She put on one of my song tapes, and he was listening to that song tape, and he was hearing the scriptures on tape before he went to bed the last few months of his life. And faith cometh how, my friend? And hearing by the what? And the reason perhaps we haven't gone fully into Rahab is God wants me to tell you, don't give up on your family members. My mother is still hanging on to life, but she can go anytime. I'm hoping to see her before she leaves, but I am not worried. You know why? I already spoke to her and prayed for her. And I've come to a confidence in God that though she may be half and half, she is going to come to know the Lord. Because I am like Rahab, standing at the window with the scarlet cord. And I'm going to wait till tomorrow to tell you the difference between the window and the door. And I want you to be encouraged, because this is the year of 2000 and what? And it is a new beginning. I didn't tell some of the saints last night what I'm going to tell you now. People think this country is a great country because of all the talented people we've had. And we've had talented people, but it is God who has made us a great nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. I just want to show you something. That in our history, there are seven presidents who died in a 20-year cycle. Starting with 1840, all the way to 1960. And in 1960, there was a seventh president who died in office, either by natural causes or by assassination. So when the eighth president in that cycle came on the scene, this was his slogan in 1980, a new beginning. How many of you remember that was the slogan of President Reagan? If you don't, you need to remember and check it out. What was the slogan? A new beginning. And what is the meaning of eight? It's the first day of a new week. It's the resurrection day. The morrow after the Sabbath is the eighth day, but it's the first day of a new week. And on the 70th day of his administration, he was wounded by a bullet that entered into the seventh ribcage, close to his heart, and he could have died. He was 70 years old. It was the 70th day of his administration. And he was wounded in the seventh ribcage. How do we explain all of that? But guess what? God did not allow him to die. And he survived. And when he was inaugurated, the people in Iran had to let go our hostages. Yeah,
Amen? Thank God.
Thank God. And 40 is 8 times 5. And this is the 8th president who survived the curse of 20-year judgment. So, I'm just saying, God's hand is in the affairs of men, though they don't acknowledge. The Most High ruleth in the affairs of men, and he gives the kingdom to whomsoever he wills.
Yes.
So let's believe that God's going to do something new for our loved ones and the ones we've been concerned about in this year. I don't know if it will all fulfill this year, but I am expecting. Faith expects. There's a word that we don't like to hear, but this word is hope. And hope is not some passive waiting. Oh, I'm waiting, and we think it's a little boring. But you can have faith and love, but if you don't have hope, something is missing. Faith, hope, and love are three sisters. And I'm sure there are many messages we can give on those three words. They're very important. But one day, this scripture shocked me. And part of the armor, it says, and having on as on the head as a helmet, what?
Hope of salvation.
The what?
Hope of salvation.
Oh boy, you talk about our theology. We already say we don't need anything more. So if you already have all that salvation in force, why do you need the hope of salvation?
Right.
See?
And there are some words that describe hope. Good hope. Better hope. Blessed hope. Purifying hope. Another one in the Old Testament. Prisoners of hope. Turn ye to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Now I'll tease you a little. The word scarlet thread or line. The Hebrew word line is tikva. The Jews of today have a song, just as we sing our patriotic song. Oh, say, can you see at the dawn's early light? They have a song. It is known as Hatikva. Hatikva means hope. And the word for line, the scarlet line in the chapter we've read, is the same as hope.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Rahab was still in Jericho, but that scarlet hope. And scarlet is the picture of blood. But I'll wait till tomorrow to explain what is the meaning of the scarlet line. There's a whole message in this. Though your sins be as what?
Scarlet.
And though they be as crimson, they shall be white as snow, as white as wool. The word there is scarlet. And red is a color that is very distinct. And when I see the blood, what did God tell them in Israel? I will do what?
Absolutely.
So they were expecting God to help them when the death angel passed through. Right?
Amen.
Well, Rahab not only had faith, she had hope. And not only that, she had love. Because if she didn't love the two spies, she would not have hidden them and covered them with facts. So this woman entered into a covenant with them. And they told her they were to, she was to get her loved ones in the house and put the scarlet cord in the window, not in the door. There was a reason for the cord being in the window. And I'll wait till tomorrow to explain. So she had faith. And she now showed love and she had hope. And she gave the men instructions where to flee. And where did they flee to? Heaven.
Mount.
What did Jesus tell the disciples in the end time? When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies,
flee to the mountain.
Flee where?
To the mountain.
Flee to the mountain. Well, which mountain we can flee to? Mount McKinley? That's not what he's talking about. A mountain is a kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Flee to the mountain. Flee to him who is our refuge.
Amen.
Seek ye first the what?
Kingdom.
And what else?
His righteousness.
His righteousness, and what will happen? Flee to the mountain is flee to me, your shelter and your refuge. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand. Help me with the rest. You see it right there in Rahab. Destruction on the right, destruction on the left. Wait. You see preservation here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord.
I know there are some Christians who try to even dispute this miracle. I'm simple to believe the whole wall collapsed except for one part of the wall, which was that area that had the house of Rahab.
That's right.
With a scarlet cord. I don't have to defend God.
No.
God can take care of himself.
I believe in you.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to go into this miracle some more tomorrow because time is already gone. By the time we get started, it's time to quit. But you know, back to the old days, Brother Lester, I tell you, we used to go 3 hours.
Here it is.
Yeah. But I don't think we need to go 3 hours tonight. I'll be merciful to you. I just want to let you know that this is a story of hope. And God doesn't want you to give up praying for your loved ones and stopping your prayers and quitting. A quitter never wins, and a winner never wins. So what caused this woman to be mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments? I haven't reached the point yet. Rahab liveth in Israel until this day. And that doesn't only mean at the time when the book was written. Until this day means until now and even 1,000 years from now. So how can Rahab be living until this day in this age of grace when she can live in that age? To be continued, same place. I'm keeping the best for the last. Oh, hallelujah. You open the New Testament and she's in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Who would have expected that? And then she's mentioned in the Hall of Fame of the righteous in Hebrews where? Chapter 11. And she's only one of two women mentioned by name. The first woman mentioned by name in Hebrews 11 is Sarah. And the only other woman mentioned by name is Rahab. Please check that out and tell me if I made a mistake. If I do, I'm going to repent. Here is a non-entity in a wicked city, and she becomes a trophy of God's grace.
Amen.
To be enlisted in the Hall of Fame in the records of heaven. And guess what? She ends up marrying one of the two spies. And this spy is of the tribe of Judah. Oh. But I'm already preaching tomorrow night, so I better go. Is it good to enjoy the Lord?
Amen.
No.
Oh, man. I tell you, I'm glad I could use a little freedom here because you can't speak like this any and everywhere. But I'm so glad that you folks have a heart to hear the word of God. And I pray that God will bless this time together because I have a conviction in me. This is going to be a unique year. You know what day today is if you're counting from January the 1st? Who can help me? Last Sunday was day 153. The minute I counted that day, I said, 153 great fish is in the net. That means harvest time is upon us. But today is what day? The 5th. So, 153, 154, 155, 156. Today's 157. Teach us the number or what?
Days.
That we may do what?
Allow our hearts to wisdom.
May I tell you, get ready for God to visit us.
Oh, my.
In a new and living way.
Thank you, Mother.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been waiting for this. Today I began to sing some songs with Gary. I couldn't even sing in some lines. I was so deeply moved in my spirit. I was being overwhelmed by the music. And I sing a song. I don't sing to entertain, but I feel it in my spirit. You know, you may get up to sing and you may not even finish that song.
That's right.
But that can have more impact than if you had the best operatic voice.
Sure.
I told Sister Louise, and I'm going to tell you again, Sister, God isn't through with you yet.
Amen.
And don't let the enemy condemn you.
Amen.
For the failures of the past. God sees your heart, and he has something beyond your finite understanding. He has kept the best for the last. Get ready for God to visit you in a way you have not been visited before.
Ready, my Lord Jesus. Yes.
And Brother Lester, be encouraged tonight that the Lord has been preparing you these many years for such a time as this.
Thank you.
And as I've told you before, through the power of His Spirit, He's going to open many of the mysteries that you've wondered about and pondered. And already the book is being opened to you. And He's confirming here a little, there a little. So expect a divine breakthrough. It is closer than you realize. And you saints of the Lord, I don't have to give you a personal word, but a corporate word. And that is, we must be on tiptoe for God to visit us in these days.
Oh, God, man.
Yes, my Lord Jesus.
It is easy to just give up. It is easy to look at all the wickedness. But just as we must pray for this country and believe God in the midst of all the wickedness to arrest souls for Him and we do our part, God is going to do His part.
Amen.
Thank you. And I will continue to remind God to move in this land, move in Israel, and move among the Muslims as well.
Sure.
And the terrorists.
Amen.
You know what is holding back God's wrath from us? It's the prayers of the righteous.
Yes.
And don't think God has forgotten you here. Maybe in a sense He has sifted you down to a minority because He has never used the majority to do His work. Am I telling you the truth or not?
That's right. Thank you.
And Brother Jason, despite the battles you have fought in your physical body and your dear wife, and the enemy has sought to destroy your faith and confidence, cast not away thy confidence that has great recompense of the reward. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap, if you faith not. Strengthen the hands that hang down and confirm the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of your way. God wants you to be encouraged, my brother. He has greater things ahead.
Amen.
And Brother Adam, and Sister Elaine, the Lord has not forgotten you. And others who have gone through the battles, the Lord loves you. And He wants to open the window of hope for you before He will enlarge your steps by opening the door. So be of good cheer. God be for us. Who can be? I'm going to close here. Maybe I wasn't really preaching. I was going all around the bush. But really, I was saying Jehovah.
Thank you.
So if some of the preachers come here and they hear me, they say, what kind of confusion is it? Guess what? I couldn't care what man says. I want to be obedient.
Thank you, my Lord.
And I'm not here to entertain you, my friend, but to encourage you because I love you. And while I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself.
Thank you.
And Brother Earl said, our dear sister, God has already shown you this year what He has done for your daughters.
Thank you, Father.
And your grandchildren.
Amen. Thank you.
And you are about to see God move in your family.
Thank you. Yes.
Be patient. The door hasn't been opened, but the window is open.
Amen.
And the window is a window of hope, my brother.
Amen. Yes, brother. Yes.
And remember, as it says of Abraham, who against hope believed. God will reward you. Reward your diligence. And he will continue to unfold more of his truths to you both. And I wish I could talk to each one, but I don't have to. I'm talking to all of us. God loves each one. You young ladies, you young men. I don't know if we have anybody here 70 years old. I haven't reached 70, I'm 67 now. Maybe God might help me to live another year or two more. I don't know. But guess what? It doesn't matter. I want to glorify him.
Amen.
I can't end without telling you. I wasn't looking for God at 9 years of age. God was looking for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And if I didn't believe the story of Rahab about God's providence, I wouldn't believe what he did for me. But he did it for me because he reached out to show me grace. I, who was born in a little village with only a few hundred people, and the name of it was Anna Katharina. And Anna means grace, and Catherine means fewer. So what does Anna Katharina mean?
Pure grace.
Pure grace. And grace is the unmerited favor.
Thank you.
And when I was besieged with fear of the unknown, I didn't know why I was here and where I was going from here, and my parents were trying to teach me a different way, I cried out to the Lord. And he sent me not two spies. He sent me a bunch of tracts printed in this country. You know what? I can't thank God enough for that.
Amen.
Thank you.
And he put a love in my heart for America way back then. And when I became an early Christian in my early years, I used to sit by the radio and listen to C.M. Ward, Doug Oldham, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. I couldn't afford to miss these servants of God as they broadcast the gospel. I used to write them for tracts and books. And you know what? They didn't charge me a penny.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I remember reading an article on reincarnation. And oh, how it blessed me. The man who wrote it was a man that has the name of my friends, the Martins. His name was Walter Martin. How many of you know Walter Martin? He was gifted in exposing the cults and their beliefs. And I wrote this man a letter. I was about 15. And I said, sir, your article really blessed me. As you explained the teaching of reincarnation in contrast to what the Bible teaches. You know what? Within a couple of weeks, he wrote me. I just showed you God's grace to me. And he said, I'm going to send you a set of all my books. You couldn't imagine how joyful I was. I mean, I couldn't afford. I mean, we were so poor we couldn't afford, hardcover book. Way back then, $3-4, right? Of course, you can't buy hardcover books these days. And he said, "Please keep in touch with me. I'm so thrilled to know that you know the Lord and you want to understand His Word." And guess what? He sent me Cruden's Concordance of the Bible. Mm-hmm. You see, I wasn't ready for Strong's and Young's. So he sent me the crude ends. But guess what? I used to find the scriptures in a hurry, brother. You talk about getting joy. Here I was finding scriptures I was puzzling in my mind. Where to look, and all I did was check the word and I got the scripture. You see, I know where I came from. Isn't it sad here in America we got so many preachers and so many books and Bibles and literature? How many people care for these things?
That's it.
You know, it is sad we're so blessed.
Yes.
And nobody cares to investigate. So he has to take a man from another country and bring him here to tell us we need to repent, get our house in order. But I'm not saying this to condemn you. It's because I love you and appreciate Brother Lester very much. And Louise, I don't forget all the kindnesses that you and all of you saints here. Whether you can give me an offering or not, I couldn't care less. I'm not here for money. I'm not here for praise. I'm here to be a servant.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If I can be of help to you while I'm here, you wouldn't disturb me if you called me at Brother George's and Sister Vicky's place. If I can go visit any sick people, Brother Lester, while I'm here, I'm hoping to visit Sister Thelma and others. I'm flexible. As Paul says, he became all things to all. And we must have that servant heart. That's why I'll be speaking on the servants of the Bible. How God pays attention to them. And I say that to encourage you. That God had his eyes on Rahab long before she entertained the spies. And little did I know one day I would leave Guyana to come here. And meet a man like Brother Odom, not in America, but in Jamaica, West Indies. You talk about the providence of God, I can tell you some stories, but I'm sure you can tell me some about God's providence. Amen. Put things in God's hand. Put the scarlet cord of the red blood of Jesus around your loved ones. And you will see God